We're joined today by Todd Callender, a lawyer who specialises in disabled rights, working in the disability health and life insurance industry for over 20 years. And we've also got military doctor, Dr. Chambers, with us, who gave a briefing to 3,000 soldiers about the poison shots, and only six actually went through with the injection. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, I'd like to start with you, Todd. Just give us a little bit of an overview of your experience. We'll talk to Dr. Chambers about his experience, and then I want to get into the meat of this interview.
Sure. So as you indicated, I've been in the morbidity business actually for well over 20 years. And before that, I was actually in the vaccine business. My family owns the intellectual property actually to a needle-free injector. And so a lot of these characters that you're running into, the WHO, Pfizer, et al., I'd already dealt with many years ago. And so when this whole thing happened and I knew who the players were and what they were up against, the mandate from the DOD came down and I couldn't sit by. So we filed suit against the Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, and the FDA as it related to the mandate for these experimental shots, which is, you know, patently illegal under Nuremberg Code, a variety of U.S. statutes and two separate U.N. conventions on top of that. We started off with something like 200,000 military plaintiffs. Eventually, after the disclosure of the DMED database and the 1,100% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality, the district court kicked us out and we moved up to the 10th Circuit Federal Court of Appeals, where we've raised an additional issue on whether or not these shots give the mRNA shots give intellectual property rights into the vaxxed. Are they owned by the patent holders? So the case is still ongoing and we're expecting a decision, actually a response sometime in the next month and a decision shortly thereafter.
And that this has been prompted by the US Supreme Court document of 2013, which alludes to the fact that they may actually be owned.
Yes, that's right. It's molecular pathology versus myriad genetics. It's a 2013 Supreme Court case, and it states in the holding, page six, halfway down, it states that use of messenger RNA to create a synthetic genome gives patent holders intellectual property rights in the synthetic genome. And very clearly, the mRNA shots are doing exactly that. They're creating synthetic proteins. They call them S proteins. So at least the S proteins, at the very minimum, are the intellectual property rights of the patent holders.
Right. Well, we look forward to an update from you on that, because that's incredibly alarming if that's the case, but yeah. Particularly because these people were not provided with informed consent. And I think that's the argument around it, whether because there was no informed consent, perhaps then it's not possible.
Most people don't know that they are in a phase three clinical trial. They are being experimented upon and they don't have a clue. Just what you said, informed consent is a right that arises from the Nuremberg trials in 1945, where we hung a whole bunch of Germans for doing the very same thing that people are doing, our governments, all of our governments are doing to people today. There is no.
Oh, I think we've lost you there, Todd. Dr. Chambers, are you still with us? We lost you there for a moment. I think we're back now.
Sorry. Have you got me?
Yes.
Good. My apologies. But what I was trying to say is that it's impossible to have informed consent when people don't know they're participating in a phase three clinical trial. How could you possibly consent to it if you don't know it's an experiment?
Oh, of course, of course. So, Dr. Chambers, I want to move to your introduction. So you were previously a special operations surgeon for the Green Berets, the first person to ever earn that position, and you're a 37-year combat veteran and Purple Heart recipient who's completed 12 deployments in your military career. Talk to us a little bit about your background. What happened with this informed consent briefing?
Yes, ma'am. I came in the Army in 83, and I'm not going to give you all the details, but eventually got out, went to college, medical school, became a doctor, started to go through residency, and 9/11 happened, came back in, and then found myself assigned to a special forces unit. My commander came to me and said, we're sending a doctor to the Q course, which is the Green Beret course, and we're sending you. I was a former infantryman. I guess it fit. So I went through the course at age 45, a little older than the average guy, and was a... one of five doctors to do that during this era. They did it during the Green Beret era, but really during this era, it was different. So When I finished active duty in 2015, I came to the National Guard in the state of Texas. You see my beautiful flag behind me. And I was on the border, and they sent me down there after working for a year on the COVID mission. This was in 2020. My job was the liaison to the governor's office of Texas to liaise on the treatments, or not treatments, the sending out the teams in order to, you know, to really go out and test people, PCR testing throughout the state. And that's what I did, multiple teams throughout the state. And we did that. And then I got shortly thereafter told that I need to report to the border, and we're giving you the shot, and you got to go down and take the shot. And I didn't receive informed consent as well. Didn't do the research, and this is the thorn in my side that I have to deal with, and I got a vaccine injury, and I'll speak on that after I talk about the beginning of it. So 2021, I go to the border early in 2021, the Texas-Mexico border. We have a humanitarian crisis on that border. Roughly at the time, about 20,000 people were coming across a week, none of them vaxxed, many of them with COVID symptoms, but we don't know, you know, 20,000 a week, and I got 600 soldiers at the time. Now, the operation has grown since then, and the number is operational security. I can't speak on that. Matter of fact, while I'm speaking, these are my opinions, mine only, based upon fact and my information that I've witnessed, not that of the DOD, Department of Defense. Along those lines, I get to the border. I go. It grows from 600. Now, you imagine as we grow and we're getting in the thousands, the first 3,000 that came on at this point, I had had the shot. I had experienced my first episode, we'll call it, of vertigo as I'm driving along the border. Had some other experiences along the way where it got worse and worse. My symptoms, vertigo, tinnitus, brain fog, visual problems. I'm typically a 20/10 guy, which means a pretty good vision. I thought that I had an inner ear infection at the time, right? Because you're a doc, you hear hoofbeats. We have a saying in Texas, if you hear hoofbeats, you think of horses and not zebras. Didn't think of shot injuries until about March. We started noticing the VAERS data coming out, the vaccine adverse reactions. And we started noticing that data. I started paying attention. Then other soldiers that had already taken the shots before they came on the border. So I had grown to about 3,000 soldiers at this time. And they were coming through my section, the medical section, and I was giving them what I knew to do based upon Army regulation. I can give the regulation. Doesn't matter. It's a reg. And it says, under emergency use authorization, I must give informed consent, period. I did. And my informed consent consisted of data that I received from the VAERS system, the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA, pretty much. And then I added my own flair to it, which is, hey, look, if you're young and you don't need this, and we do risk stratification, it's not necessary. But then comes in around summertime, the DOD mandate, which then trumps everything. And at that point, I have to do it. So yes, we with my informed consents, my medics went out and they spread the wealth and spread the information. And we got six people that took it out of 3,000 at that time. We were at 28% vaxxed. We had nobody sick on the border. You know why? Because we did lesser intrusive means. Lesser intrusive means. Simple nasal lavage with betadine mixed with saline. Just like I would do if I was in Africa dealing with, you know, TB, I would use personal protective equipment. I would do the right thing. I've dealt with the worst of the worst in the darkest jungles of the world. I can do this, right? But now the mandates come. Then when the generals hear that I'm doing informed consents, my boss, my surgeon, who outranks me, calls me and says, hey, you're doing informed consents. We don't like it. We don't get the numbers that we need. We're in trouble with the Department of Defense. And I said, well, sir, it's a regulation. Must. You're a doctor. What about do no harm? And he says to me, well, pack your bags, you're fired, and we're going to let you go. I'm like, well, before you do that, sir, so you don't get in trouble, I've done a whistleblower with the congressman, and I'm under a whistleblower protection act, and I'm really looking out for him. I'm a good guy. I'm not a vindictive guy until you cross me the wrong way. And I said, so, sir, if you do that to me, it'll be retribution. He says, I'll call you back. He calls me in an hour and says, okay, you're not fired. But when your orders run out in December, we're going to pull you off orders. Now, I was supposed to be down there still, you know, for this next year to round up my 40 years of what I wanted to retire. But now I can't retire because I'm doing a medical discharge because of the demyelination that's going on in my brain. And demyelination is, I got a neurologic hit. I had an MRI, and it shows that if you take a wire and you pull the rubber coating off of it, or the plastic coating off of it, it's exposed wire. And its myelin sheath covers the neurons, and therefore we're having some problems. I had a group of those come through, neurologic deficits, to include six people that went into the hospital, some in the ICU, one of which is currently undergoing speech rehab therapy, a 41-year-old soldier. These aren't normal things. And when I went to the command and said, these aren't normal things, what are we doing here? Well, you can't prove it. It doesn't matter. We got to start looking. This is in the regs. It says must follow up with these patients. And the general came to my, you know, my hooch down there on the border and got my chili. And I've been chewed out before. You know, I've been around for a long time. I'm a enlisted guy. I can handle it. And he tells me, and I said, sir, that's an unlawful order. I can't follow that order. And imagine you're going up against a two-star. And currently that two-star has just resigned and gone because they're starting to see through this thing. We're seeing the fringes of passing over into the away from mass formation psychosis, away from cognitive dissonance, into the world of reality. And that's where I'm seeing, and I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. And that's what I'm seeing. So I'm going to be optimistic that we're seeing that. But there are other problems, and the other problems have to do with 5G. And that's not necessarily my fight on the border, but became my fight as I'm seeing that mixed with the neurologic things. It's almost like putting gas on a fire.
Yes. Yeah, so this is something that Todd is also very, very passionate about talking about. I think there's so much that's unknown on this topic and how it's actually going to interact with the people that are vaccinated. If there is nanotech inside of these people, what's actually going to happen? Are we even talking to the level of mind control? I mean, there's so much to unpack, because I've had a whistleblower group here from Australia that have provided me with evidence in the blood that there is nanotechnology inside of people now. Where do we want to start with this 5G chat, Todd?
I think it's really important to note, number one, what's in the patents, what's in the ingredients list. Hydrogel is listed as an ingredient. And we don't have to wonder whether it's in there. There are lipid nanoparticles in there. Use of messenger RNA requires the use of lipid nanoparticles to get it inside of the cell. So herein lies the other issue. They put three separate HIV proteins into the mRNA shots. In fact, they put them into all of them. But for the purpose of slipping the lipid nanoparticles past the cell wall to deploy its payload, right? The lipid nanoparticles hold little proteins, oligonucleotides and nucleotides. And that's what reprograms the body to produce the synthetic DNA. It's not a question as to whether they're in there or not. They're in there. The question now becomes, for what purpose? So right now, the stated purpose is to produce S proteins, the same kind of ones that the pathogen is made of. In fact, I think they're more or less duplicate. The good doctor can say more about that than I can. What concerns me more, also in the patents, are nucleotides, these chimeric pieces of proteins that were put together between Marburg and E. coli, Staphylococcus and Ebola. Their patents state that these are substances, these are programming proteins and mRNAs inside the lipid nanoparticles. The question is, did they put them into the people? And if they did, we discovered that the use of an 18 gigahertz 5G signal will cause those lipid nanoparticles to swell and become porous for the purpose of delivering these proteins. And all of that science is there. We got nervous about it because there was so much science on this, so many tests. And aside from that, what's exactly the purpose of having 5G in every single public school building? Nobody talks about the reason or rationale before this. And why is there such a range, right? From 2 gigahertz up to 300 gigahertz is a huge range. Most of that's owned by the Department of Defense, in fact. So there's just too many questions out there for us to ignore. And then Dr. Chambers, on top of that, happens to have, you know, up close and personal experience with this. Maybe you'd like to get into that, Doctor.
Please, Dr. Chambers.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be careful here because there's potential cases that we're working on. But I will say that when you're, and I know that you're people of Canberra and know what LRAD is, because I've spoke to them before about LRAD and what they're doing there. And that's just despicable that they would use that device mixed with what I believe is 5G in that particular arena. because that's what I believe.
Well, Dr. Chambers, I'll pause you there, because what happened was, from what we understand, the injuries that the people sustained at Canberra, I was actually there. I believe I was injured as well, because I had a burn mark on my body. Don't know what it was from. And I also had a persisting fatigue, probably for about 3 weeks. We had children with blistered lips, you know, people with burn marks under their clothing. So it wasn't from the sun. And too many people had the same symptoms for this to be a coincidence, that persisting fatigue, migraines, children sleeping all day. So my understanding is that LRADs don't actually produce those symptoms. It was something else.
I believe the same. LRAD is a long range acoustic device. It says I'm having some connections problems. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We can hear you just fine.
Okay. So that device has got a limit to it in distance, and it can be pointed and you get a little further with it. But truly, I believe that you had something else going on there, and I haven't researched it enough to know. I've researched Texas, I've researched Florida and Arizona in the mesh networks, including the city of Houston, the mesh networks. And I'll say, based upon my studies of this and in using devices, and currently I'm like a divining rod for this stuff. When I get around it, I have to be careful. I'm out on a trailer on a mountain right now just to recuperate my brain, because that's truly the treatment that's required, is just brain rest. It's like a TBI. But when you're talking about radiation in microwave form, when it's pulsated, that's the key, is the pulsations of it. The tissue cannot receive that multiple pulsation. 1 second differences, and you can add it to three, and you can release some sort of an agent, or you can damage permanently, or you can damage the oral mucosa. You see things like that in radiation injuries when people just go through radiation treatment. There are blood changes. We call that rouleau formation. It takes the red blood cells and it causes a deformity to them, and they stack on each other, which can lead to coagulopathies, coagulation problems. There are oxidative stresses that take place, which in the long term can cause cancers, things like that. We can talk about immune system, affecting our immune system long term. Of course, the various other symptoms or signs with tinnitus and things, you know, the ringing in the ears. But the oral mucosa is what most of the people complain of, is where it just gets really reddened and inflamed, almost like hand, foot, and mouth disease or something like that, where children get that and they get that beet red appearance. So there are multiple things that we see, but that's what I'm saying is that this happened to us on the border, all right? And we deal with nefarious actors on the border daily. You know, the cartels on the border are not kind to us, and we deal with that all the time. And I believe that they have the ability to use something like that. And that's what we dealt with. And I've taken a hit. We call it a hit. You know, our director of national intelligence put out a piece of a document that is open source now, which is the intelligence committee got together and said, you remember the Havana syndrome or hearing about it? You know, where there was devices that were planted outside the embassy of Havana and also in other embassies around the world, where people of that community were damaged in the Department of State. And they've done it. They've confirmed it so much that they created a Havana Act to give compensation to those people. So if they're admitting to that, we know that that's possible. We don't need anything else to prove it. Now it's just a matter of, what's it doing to our people? And what it did to the people of Canberra is outrageous.
Yes, I think a lot of people are shocked to know to think that our government would do something like that to us. But we're talking about global genocide here. And we're talking about people that have no regard for human life. In fact, are actively trying to destroy it. So it comes as no surprise to me that they would be doing something like that. But Todd, you sent me a document that you said you wanted to talk about. So let's go through more of these 5G risks and what it is that you're trying to bring up, because you think that this is going to lead to another outbreak of sorts. And that this may be the link.
I do. It goes back to the 18 gigahertz signal and the fact that so many scientific reports were done on this and studies as it relates to, you know, dropping these contents of the lipid nanoparticles. And what I wanted to impart is that the U.S. government created special Marburg provisions of law in the PREP Act. So the Health and Human Services enabling legislation for emergency health preparedness, for emergency health response. It's actually 42 CFR Part 70 and 71, effectively states upon a declaration of such a pandemic that all power cedes in the Health and Human Services Department, all constitutional rights are effectively suspended, and the Centers for Disease Control get to control how the response is going to be characterized. It's very similar to what we saw in the case of COVID. The problem that I foresee is that the Marburg provisions of the PREP Act have already been invoked when there is no Marburg anywhere to be seen, right? Maybe there's some in China. We've heard some in South Africa. But in the United States, there has only been 10 deaths over the last 40 years. There is no hint of Marburg, and yet they've already spent the money. And what are they spending the money on? They are creating through intergovernmental agreements quarantine centers. And so the CDC, under that law that I cited, has the power to grab people and quarantine them, test them. There's a very limited due process, right, that you can appeal to a judge, to, you know, one of their judges, to get out. But almost as disturbingly as that is what we are encountering today with regard to this. So we are seeing hospital homicides, as we call them now. This is the exact same thing under the exact same laws, irrespective of Marburg. And you see where people enter a hospital and they go through this chain of events that ends up with them being dead at the end. Again, no constitutional rights, no civil rights. And when we got into the middle of this and really started investigating it, because we were getting calls to get people out, what we came to find is that they had merged, they being the federal government, had merged public health with corrections, with the judiciary, and with law enforcement. So when I would have somebody stuck in a hospital and they weren't allowed to leave, that's a, you know, it's a medical kidnapping. They were being given drugs that they didn't want. That's a medical battery. They weren't allowed to leave. That's false imprisonment. And when I would call the police, or for that matter, even the FBI, and say, listen, you got to go and do a health, safety, and welfare check on these people, the answer was no. Law enforcement wouldn't get involved. Judges in the civil context wouldn't get involved. And it looks to me like this is a prelude of what's to come when there's a Marburg epidemic. And I'm saying when, because they've already spent the money. It's already happened.
So I'm going to add to this. I just interviewed Dr. Tess Laurie last night from the World Council for Health, who was in on the WHO pandemic treaty meeting just last week, where this is going to supersede every country's constitution. Mm-hmm. And they are calling for more controls than they had during the time of COVID. So we thought that was tyranny. Yeah. Wait until one body, the World Health Organization, who are not about health at all, are controlling every single country. And they not only are they wanting to impose sanctions on countries that don't obey the rules. And by the way, we're also discussing things like forced vaccinations. Not right. only do they want to impose sanctions, they're talking about punishing people. We don't know what those punishments look like, but I've been talking about these camps. You just mentioned the quarantine camps. I've been talking about these camps being used for dissent for some time. We see people in Shanghai being made an example of, the largest prison colony on the earth right now. Yep. And,
that's right.
And people are calling me a fearmonger. And no, I'm telling you, these camps are being built for dissent.
They are. 939 million people are locked up in China right now, just as you described. It's not a question, Maria, of if this is going to happen. It's a question of when. They've already demonstrated their intent. You said it yourself, we're already in the midst of a genocide. All we're really talking about is how is it they're going to kill us, whether it's hospital homicides or 5G or the shots or locking you up in a quarantine center. By the way, yours, I noticed, and somebody else noticed, had gas pipes going straight in, a half inch gas pipe. With no gas on the inside, just a pipe going in. That sure reminds me a lot of Auschwitz.
There was a video that went around. I've been contacted by a couple of people, politicians, who said that, you know, that there are a number of reasons why those gas pipes could be there. But I've also been contacted from people on the other side of this who are building this, saying, no, it's far more nefarious than you think. Now, I can't say too much because I don't have the evidence to back up my claims. What I will say is that these camps are not for good reasons. We're spending another $1.3 billion this year in our budget. It's been allocated for further development of these camps. And I would not be surprised if they were going to be killing people in these camps later on down the track.
Yes, for sure. I mean, why else build them? Like I said, we don't have to guess what their intent is. They've already demonstrated that. You know, by way of example, you know, in the Department of Defense, we knew that there was 1,100% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality in 2021 over 2020. We know that because it was the military's numbers, meaning they know that. And Dr. Chambers released that information to Senator Johnson, who then told the world about it. And then what happened? The DOD's fudged the numbers. So, oh, yeah, we had a big problem. My point in telling you this is that that data is out, and yet they're still mandating the shots, knowing full well how yes. harmful these are. We don't have to question their malintent. It's already been demonstrated.
Correct. Correct. So, okay, on back to Marburg, because I had recently had Karen Kingston on. I'm not sure if you,
sure.
you gentlemen are familiar with her. She's a biotech sure. analyst. She used to work for Pfizer. She showed me funding that's gone towards developing, well, sort of the same patterns that we saw with COVID for hemorrhagic fevers, Ebola, others. Yeah. We also know that there are vaccine trials right now happening for Ebola. A call for vaccine trial participants.
Yep.
And there have been millions of dollars allocated to this. So when we're talking about Marburg, are we talking about Marburg specifically or various hemorrhagic fevers? I've also had CCP, Chinese whistleblower that escaped from multiple attempts on her life in China, Dr. Li Mengyan, tell me that that was their next plan. They were planning a hemorrhagic fever release.
Does it matter? You know, one other thing that Dr. Chambers can talk about is the fact that those same symptoms, the hemorrhagic fever, is something they can produce with the 5G technology, the 5G signals.
Dr. Chambers? Yeah,
think about that. The bleeding from the mouth, the bleeding from orifices. When those pulses are given in such a way, it tears tissue. Okay, and when you enter, if you do have a vaccine that's laced with a Marburg or Ebola type organism, a chimeric organism, chimeric being made up of two things, virus and bacteria, and you release that and you get that positive, look, this is a very low transmissibility type of organism, yet extremely mortal, high mortality rate. You, since 1967, the reports that came out on Marburg, which was found in monkeys that had went to, you know, scientists in Germany, in Marburg, Germany, where the name comes from, it's 50% to 100% mortality, but it should not be something we should be worried about. And this is something I stress to people, and I just spoke to some other people this morning about this, is don't let the fear, we don't live in a spirit of fear. Don't let that just overtake you. That's what they want.
Correct.
We just have to say no. We have to get, you know, all together in the world, in the 5-I countries for sure, the ones that are hit the hardest by this. Why isn't Mexico hit hard by it? Why isn't Mexico hit hard but with 5G towers right now? Right? And why do we have this many people coming across in this migration that is somewhat, I would call, an invasion? I've spent my last year of my life on that invasion. I've seen it. 22% of the males, I mean, of the populace coming across are fighting age males. Now, I'm only looking at the most dangerous course of action here and considering it. But as a soldier, that's what I do, is I prepare for the worst. And we have seen this dry run of COVID. We need to be ahead of the fear and what I call left of bang on this. You know, the bang being an IED. You know, on 12 May 2004, I was blown up by an IED in Baghdad. And from the 13th of May, 2004, I was an expert on IEDs. I didn't want to get blown up again. I was left of bang from then on, in a linear scale, left of it. I was able to identify. And we are now left of bang capable. Let's get there. And it's your mediums and others that are doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, what you just said, as a soldier, I prepare for the worst. And that is actually the armor that takes us forward, knowing that this is possible. These are the possibilities. We have to prepare mentally, spiritually, physically for the worst, because we know what these psychopaths are capable of. We are at war. Yes, that's what they are.
That's right.
We know what they're capable of. And so if right. What's the worst that could happen if you prepare for the worst? It doesn't happen, and you were prepared anyway.
That's right. So we prepare for whatever it could be, whatever hemorrhagic, whatever you want to call it. We're prepared for it. And the way you prepare for it, and here's something interesting. Teresa Long is a colleague of mine, and she was the first whistleblower to come out. And then we followed on with her, and we backed her play, and it pulled me out of the shadows of special operations warfare. But it was important because there will be more lives saved with information in this fifth generation warfare. That's what we're in. We just came through fourth generation, which is counterinsurgency, and third and previous, and all the way down to first, which was, you know, axes and shields. We're in fifth generation warfare. That's where we're at. And this is an information war. And this is a war for truly your heart and mind. And in the mass formation psychosis that we see, those people that are cognitively dissonant all the way down to mass formation are scared. Truly, they're scared. And then the ones that live in pride in the center of that bell curve is pride. You know, these surgeons that I deal with and these generals that I deal with, this is pride. I made a call. I'm going to stick by it till the very end. You know, we have a saying in, you know, our Navy, damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. Well, in this case, it's our lives that are on the line. And that's not just soldiers' lives. It's humanity at stake.
Correct. And you make an interesting point there where they say, I've made a decision, I'm going to stick to it. My goodness, don't you wish you were wrong about all of this? Todd, don't you wish that you were wrong about all of this? I am waiting for someone to prove me wrong. But unfortunately, as time progresses, we keep being right.
Well, you know, we have a chance. So the question I put before the appellate court was, you know, are the vaccinated people the chattel property of the patent holders? We win either way, right? If the court comes back and says, yes, they are, well, we got a violation of the 13th Amendment. We can get rid of it. If they come back and say, no, they're not, we won. Yay. Right? Sure. That's any win will do, Maria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Until the World Health Organization's mandate upon our Constitution happens. And I'm playing devil's advocate, but as far as I'm concerned, another Navy saying is prepare to repel borders, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to get Bubba and you're going to keep sticking him in the eye and get mad. And we don't want that. I've seen war and it's ugly and it's an ugly place. But at some point, people are going to get so mad, they're not going to know what to do. Those that are not cognitively dissonant, those that believe in freedom and joy, and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that's written in our declaration. It at some point, and is it going to be our legislators or is it going to be we the people in our case? You know,
yeah, I share your concern.
Dr. Chambers, do you think that they want public an upheaval? Do you think they want civil disobedience? Because let me give you an example.
Go ahead.
Sorry, here in Australia, we have a legislation, the Defence Legislation Amendment of 2020, that allows foreign troops to come onto our soil, full indemnity. Yep. They can take human life, they can destroy property, and it's used in a time of crisis. That was in 2020. So if we had a public uprising here, we'd have UN on our soil immediately.
It's all countries, Mira. That was universally done.
Look what happened in Canada with, you know, little Castro. I mean, he's up there letting these UN guys come in, you know. I don't mean to disparage. But, you know, that's what we're seeing. And we're not, you know, yes, they want that. They, not all, some. It's you know, you poke a guy in the eye enough times and you turn your cheek and eventually, you know, righteous anger comes out. And we're just not those people, the Five Eyes. Why do you think that we've been targeted first in all of this? Because we are people that are capable of taking care of ourselves, and we were pioneers and we were here first, and we came and we, you know, we survived some serious odds to continue it, but we always banded together. And now we're at a point now where they're pushing that, and we don't want that. That's the last thing we want. You know, I preach Mandela, I preach Martin Luther King, I preach Gandhi, and say, you know, just like the Nike commercial, just do it. I say, well, just don't do it, but just don't do it peacefully. Until somebody does something to me or my family, you know, and then it's going to be, you know, the hill that I'm going to die on, but I don't want that. And I'm not threatening that. I'm just saying that that's the last thing that we want. And so it's got to be the, Todd and I talked about this earlier, the doctrine of lesser magistrates, which is a fascinating idea. Doctrine of lesser magistrates says, and he's the lawyer, and I'll let him finish this up, but that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about Daniel. Before he went in the lion's den, he interposed for the Jewish people and said to them, hey, so somebody in a lesser magistrate can step up and say, no, mayor, I'm not going to do this. City councilman can say that. And the mayor can say, no, governor, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to interpose for my people. No president or no prime minister, I'm not going to do this. They got to have the wherewithal and the support to be able to exercise that doctrine. Todd, am I speaking the truth?
Oh, you're exactly right. And from a lot of different perspectives too, doctor, including the fact that, you know, Nuremberg, out of Nuremberg, the code derived creates universal jurisdiction. So that means a traffic cop, a traffic court has jurisdiction to investigate and prosecute these crimes universally in every country on the planet. And all things are local, right? All enforcement is local. So you're absolutely right about that. And we have to get our people up, go talk to your sheriff, go talk to your police, go talk to whoever it is you do. The laws exist right now to undo this. Any court martial anywhere in the world by any military is enough to unwind this right now. It really just depends on whether or not we have the will, the political will, the survival will to do something about it.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people have grown in their resolve as time has progressed and as they've seen that they were correct about their crazy so-called theories, yeah. 2 years ago. They're now more determined than ever. And we need to be, and we can't lose faith and we can't lose courage. We can't lose heart because we are in the battle for our lives. I want to ask you, Dr. Chambers, about either of you actually, because we're talking about what sort of symptoms 5G can produce. They'll potentially tell us that this was, we're talking about bleeding from the mouth. This is all Marburg symptoms or hemorrhagic fever symptoms.
Right.
But is it possible to control people's minds and behavior with 5G?
Go ahead, Todd.
Answer is yes. If you go back to 1976, the Defense Intelligence Agency published a paper that discloses a lot of information along these lines. And the short answer is they've been doing it for a very long time. A half a hertz signal, it's a very low signal, has the ability and does affect how people feel. Good, bad, happy, indifferent, sad. All of that has been happening for a very long time. Even HARP, right? It was at the high altitude acoustic something or other, doctor. I can't remember the acronym entirely. But the short answer is that this has been happening for a long time. You find it in the law everywhere. As a matter of fact, it's not just in federal statutes. It's internationally as well. And these experiments are not new. So this has been happening for a very long time. And by the way, if you look at the scientific journals, for instance, the one in Harvard in 2009, and you look up Dr. Lieber, Charles Lieber, you will find that he had actually atomically welded transistors onto the lipid nanoparticles, changing them into nanobots. And the article talks about how these are small enough to get inside the brain and effectively control people. So this is not even new technology. It's been around. Of course, they're using that.
So my biggest concern was all these people that have been injected who, I spoke to Professor Desmet about mass formation, and he said, you've got the chance to wake up 40 to 50% of the people that are kind of in the middle. Now, my concern is that these people who've been injected, that they have this technology inside of them, then the 5G rollout comes out and they're not even able to think for themselves anymore. This is where my mind is going. Yes, if right. I was constructing this war, that's how I would do it.
Well, what about the 1p36 gene deletion? So if you look at the post-marketing and experience of Pfizer, they listed 1,291 separate maladies that were serious adverse events of special interest. The 1p36 gene deletion is a congenital disease, meaning you're born with it. And yet that was the number one serious adverse event. And if you look up the symptomology for that, it's the elimination of your frontal cortex. Your thinking part of your brain, your decision-making part of your brain is the number one serious adverse event listed by Pfizer. So yeah, you're right. Whether it's nanobots or they just destroyed people's brains, that's where we're at.
It's multifaceted. I mean, when you, the more you dig, the more you see that it is literally
an assault from every angle. Right. And Maria, that information was the information that Pfizer wanted to keep close hold on for 75 years.
Yeah.
A FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act, and a court ruling.
Yes.
To make haste. We were able to present that in a court case in Tampa with Matt Staver's guys, Liberty, the attorney there with Liberty Counsel, and myself and Colonel Long were able to present that. And I read a few of those, and I did. And when it got to demyelination, which was my particular problem, Mr. Staver asked me, well, what do you have? Is it on there? I said, demyelination. And she said, the DOJ attorney, Department of Justice attorney that he was going against said, well, you know, the DMED data shows that that's actually decreased now, you know, and they had changed the data. They shut the system down for 2 days and then changed the data. This tells you how far they're willing to go, even after a sitting U.S. senator looks them in the eye and says on 24th of January, when it was released with Attorney Tom Renz, do not change this data, DOD. They shut it down the day after for 48 hours and then turned it back on. And according to them, it was a glitch.
I remember a glitch. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the most reliable systems that we have produced that sort of a glitch.
Objective
without
data.
Not only that. Hang on, Doc. Not only that, but the glitch showed that they had these horrible maladies, the same 1,100% increase for the past 5 years. So we had the most unhealthy and dead military on the planet for the preceding Correct. 5 years.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you're right. The fact that they're willing to go this far, it right. just shows you, and then this goes back to what you were saying before, Todd, they've already shown you their intent. Yeah. They've already shown you what they're capable of. This is a time, I believe, as human beings, we need to prepare that. I don't know how else to say this than we need to prepare for the worst. It's not about creating fear in people. It's about, okay, when you are prepared within yourself, you will have no fear. Yeah.
And there's a saying that goes, I don't know who said this, and maybe Todd or Maria, you can help me. We fear that which we do not know.
That's right.
When we're not as afraid. That's why we do it, what we call an intelligence preparation of the battlefield. So I understand my enemy. And Sun Tzu even said it way back in 2000 before Christ. If you know yourself and you know the enemy, you know the outcome of 1,000 battles. But if you know neither, well, you're going to succumb to the enemy. So we've got to know these things so we cannot live in fear, in a spirit of fear. You know, that's what we do in my business for sure. But even our Boy Scouts have a saying that goes, be prepared. Let's go.
That's Absolutely. Right. And faith in God. You know, at the end of the day, put on your armor of God, and faith is just that. It's having faith that things will be okay despite the unknown, right? Those of us that have a belief in God aren't afraid to die. Why? Because we have faith. So I think that's the other part of this, is have faith in the good Lord above. And it doesn't excuse you, by the way, from doing things. You've got to stand up for yourself. The answer, just what Dr. Pete said, the answer is no. Put on your mask. No, take a shot. No, they can't govern us without our consent. So let's just stop consenting.
Yes. I often talk about the fact that even if we were in the very last days, I don't know that we're in the very end. I don't know. No one really knows. Okay. It's not the first time that Christians have called end of days. Yeah. Well, we can at all admit that, but it is the first time that we're seeing so many prophecies line up at the same time, globally, never before seen. Does that mean that we can't stop them? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that the people don't have the power to overturn this? No, it doesn't. We absolutely do. But even if it did, would you stop fighting? No, you wouldn't, because on that day, you want him to find you doing the right thing on this earth.
Right.
And as human beings that know this information, we have a responsibility to the rest of humanity. Yes, it is a heavy burden. But that's what being a good human is.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
That's it. If we had that's a couple, it. Couldn't say it better.
Could we add a couple more no's to our list of no's? No digital currency. You know, don't take away our cash. And no, I'm not going to take the mark of the beast while you're at it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw someone say, let me just get ahead of the game and say I'm also anti-microchip.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
But look, we've got about 5 minutes left. So I just want to hear from both of you what you think the best thing, the best ways that people can prepare and what they can continue to do to push back.
Yeah, I'll kick this off. You know, preparation is going to be key. Understanding your environment. Understanding, we call it situational awareness. Pay attention and look for flags. And when I say flags, in a close quarter battle, when I'm going in a room with a bad guy and I'm going up against the Taliban and he's in the other room and I hear that magazine hit the ground, I know he's reloading, right? And this is going to be a simple soldier thing, but it's what I know. At that point, I got to go. On June 6, 1944, Colonel George Taylor said to his troops on Omaha Beach in Normandy, there's only two kinds of soldiers on this beach, the dead and those who will die. Let's go. And this is where we're at. And that's the words of encouragement that I'm giving you. This is that moment, the change in the tide. I'm seeing it. I said it before. I'll say it again. We're seeing a change because people are waking up. And I don't care about the ones that are fully cognitively dissonant or mass formation. The ones in the middle are waking up.
Yeah, so encouraging. That's right.
It is encouraging.
It's about time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's unfortunate. I recall speaking to Dr. Malone last year, you know, towards the end of last year. And he said to me, unfortunately, people are going to have to start dying for people to realize. Yeah. Kids are going to have to start dying for people to realize. And it breaks my heart that we get to the stage of someone's child having to die for them and their neighbors to realize how dangerous this is because they didn't heed the warning. But that's human beings. We need hard lessons.
Yeah, I'd like to send a note out to, you know, all the wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, moms and dads who have a loved one that's in uniform. Prepare them because they're the ones that are going to be tasked with forcing these shots on others or executing on whatever crime, whatever genocide is coming. And I think it's important to get to them and ask them what their soul speaks. Are you really going to go kill these people? Because that's the equivalent. You give them a shot. A French court found that that's the equivalent of suicide. So in that case, it's murder. So, you know, I think it's incumbent for the spouses, the moms and dads, to ask those people because they're the ones that are going to do it. Are you prepared for this? Are you going to do this or not? Because the other choice they have, go back to universal jurisdiction. You have a choice to enforce the law as it is written. Every country on this planet has the ability and authority to undo this right now. It takes some willpower to go and make those arrests, but it is doable and lawful this very moment.
And what you just asked is so crucial, Todd, what you just encourage people to ask of people that are serving. Because if this WHO pandemic treaty goes through, that is exactly what they'll be asked to do.
Yeah.
We are talking about the possibility of forced injections, internment camps, re-education camps. This is what we're talking about. So that question needs to be asked, does it sit right with your soul that you have these orders to go and harm your own people? Because that's exactly what it is.
Is it worth the paycheck, your measly little paycheck, to kill others?
Gentlemen, thank you so much for that. That it's, you know, your time is so valued, your input's valued. We will, I think, definitely need to speak again to talk more about this 5G and what we see happening on the ground. But appreciate your efforts, appreciate your courage, and God bless you both.
God bless you. Thank you for having
us. Thank you, man.